I was glad when they said unto me, let's go down to Billy Bob's. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let the house of the Lord declare the glory of God by saying hallelujah. Are you glad you're on your way to heaven? Some of you are like the Democrats, the Republicans, the Tea Party, whatever. You're scared to vote. I said, how many are on your way to heaven and you're going to do a little shouting on the way? Pastor's away so the people can play. No. Continue to pray for our pastors that God will supernaturally strengthen them. Just a greeting. Want you to take your Bible this morning and join me in the closing chapter of a great book. When you buy a book, you first look at it. You look at the cover of it, the title, and the author. When you have the Bible in your hand, you open the first page, and it says, in the beginning, God. It settles the premise, the plot, the themes are all encapsulated in those first words. I want you now to turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I want to read this portion of Scripture this morning. If you want to stand, it's a lengthy, but I'm going to be reading the entire chapter this morning. Chapter 22, verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, and this is talking about heaven. In the beginning, God created all these things, and now the consummation of the ages is this, that we transition from earth, from glory to glory to the heavenly kingdom. And there is the water of life, clear as crystal. If you're thirsty, drink. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. If you're hungry, eat, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the saying of the prophecies of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and when I heard them, and I heard and saw them, I fell down at the feet of before the one of the angels which showed me these things. And he said unto me, see, you do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. We don't worship angels. All the people said, amen. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And echoing a verse number 7, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as the work so shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, listen. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, underscore this, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the people said, Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you love them this morning and don't lie. You're in the house of the Lord. Scott, go ahead and roll it.
There's a city that looks for the valley of death, and its glory has never been told. Where the Lamb is the light in the midst of the night,
in that beautiful city of gold. And death, and the saints, they will never, never grow old. How I long for that city where there never comes a night, in that beautiful city of gold,
where the sun stars in that beautiful city of gold, and the righteous forever will shine like the stars in that beautiful city.
This portion of the scripture says there are certain things on the inside of the heavenly Jerusalem, inside the gate. Things that are in that holy city are a pure river lined by streets of gold. Water of life, clear as crystal. The throne of God and of the Lamb. The tree of life with 12 manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. No curse, no night. No candle, no parting, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no sin. Someone say, Praise be unto the Lamb of God. Can you say amen? And the light of the Lord God himself shall be the Lamb. I want you to know if the sun quits shining, The sun can just move right on over, and you and I won't have to hug a tree. We won't have to worry about perishing in 12 months or 12 years or 12 days. I said He has provisions for the entire church. He has brought us thus far, and folks, He is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask, and He's going to bring us into the place called the New Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Behold, He says these words, in the beginning was God. He created and began speaking life for us. And now the last words that you hear from Jesus are simply this: behold, I come quickly. Reminds me of a story of a senior pastor in a country setting. He saw that one of his young boys in the church was now beginning to take interest in the things of God, and he recognized the call of God was on his life, and he said to him, called his name. He said, next Sunday night, I want you to preach the gospel message. He said, I want you to come and just give the word of God, whatever God lays on your heart. The young boy was so excited about that, he went and bought him a big chief tablet, and all week long, folks, he wrote page after page after page about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he chose this text, behold, I come quickly. When he was walking up the steps towards to meet the pastor for the evening service, he shifted his Bible from one arm to the other, and when he did, he didn't realize all of his notes blew away in the wind. What a perilous place to be. I preached my first sermon down at the Alamo, and folks, I remember the Alamo. Pastor handed him the pulpit and said, go ahead and preach. He opened his Bible, and to his chagrin, no notes. Blank set in. Folks, it doesn't just happen to senior citizens. I'm here glad God doesn't ever have a memory lapse. I'm here glad He remembers all things, sees all things. Come on, give Him praise with your hands this morning in the house of God. He didn't know what to do, so he thought, maybe if I just be like the pastor, you know, open your mouth and God will feel it. So he said, behold, I come quickly. Nothing rang. With more gusto, he came the second time. Now the church was packed out because they came to hear the young man preach. The situation was full. The pews were close at hand. On the second time, he came with a little more gusto and said, behold, I come quickly. Nothing happened. He reared back on the third time, and when he did, he hit that pulpit with a flying leap. And when he did, he said, behold, I come quickly. And he went right over the pulpit area and landed in the lap of a large lady. And he looked up and he said, sorry, ma'am, excuse me. She said, that's all right, preacher, you warned me three times. The warning is out for us, folks. He's coming soon, and He's coming for a church that's not sleeping with some other god, but something that's on fire, something that's burning, something that has passion beyond recognition. Folks, the church has got to rise up in this last day in the state of Laodicea. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church of triumph and victory and hope. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're the counsel of God. We're the bride of Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let hell know that the blood of Jesus Christ reigns and rules on the planet earth. If God be for us, who can be against us? And someone say amen this morning. He said, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life. But those who are on the outside, folks, I want you to know, they're dogs. I said sorcerers, whoremongers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. Folks, the world has separated itself from the channels and from the goodness of God. But those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I said, have eternal DNA that's going to stand for time and eternity. How many are glad you're not your own, but you're bought with a price, and now you're a champion of champion because God has brought you out of sin and hell and death, and He set your feet on a solid rock, and now you're on your way to heaven. Folks, there's a difference when you sit on the inside of the gate and you look over the wall and you see other things out there that are not going to make it in. It makes you want to say, praise be unto the Lamb of God. He brought me out and brought me into the life flow of His divine presence. Someone praise Him in the house of God this morning. I want you to know that I have a passion for Christ that I met as a teenager when He filled me with the power of His Spirit. And folks, I'm getting close to the next 8th decade on this planet, and I have still more desire than ever before to serve Him with joy and gladness. My strength is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. My faith is in God. I trust in Him. It says in our money, it says on our constitution, in God we trust. Let it be again. The church is traditional. It was founded upon Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while things are transitional this day, the church has a sure foundation in Jesus Christ. I stand on the inside today and I look over the wall and I said, thank you, God. I'm not walking where I used to walk. I'm not talking like I used to talk. I'm not being like I used to be. I have been touched by the divine presence of a living God, and I trust in Him this day, and I thank God I'm on the inside of the gate. We moved down from Canada, and if I seem a little different, that's because I wasn't born here. Got more about that tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about that. 6 o'clock, mark it down. We moved to Missouri. My dad built a motel there, and we built it on the outskirts of Highway 65 and 36. Two major converging highways. One goes all the way across the east to the west coast, and the other one goes north and south. We learned very quickly as we were students in public school that the bus picked us up first and dumped us off last. Pardon me, let us out at last. Now, my mama didn't raise no fool, but I got tired of sitting there waiting to go somewhere I really wasn't excited about going. And I got a 2-hour free ride, and then in the evening it was 2 hours. I turned to my two sisters and I said, Dad'll drive us over in the morning because he had to attend for the motel. I said, I'll walk with you. We can get home in 20 minutes. I conned them in for the first 2 times, and when their tongue was hanging out, because I kept pulling the leash, trying to get them home quicker because I had things to do at home. We finally just headed out, and snow would come down in northern Missouri. The wind was out of the southwest, and as we went over the viaduct in Chillicothe, Missouri, as soon as we hit that southwest wind, our nostrils were arrested. Psychology 101, Pavlov's Laws. What we got wind of was the local bakery. If you've ever been up Central Expressway and you're going north on Central Expressway, you get to a certain point early in the morning, and if you're driving along and you happen to have your window cracked and even don't have to have it cracked, you're going to smell Mrs. Baird's Bakery. And I want you to know something kicks in. If you haven't had your coffee, you haven't had your donut, boy, you should have seen them scarfing them down this morning in Brother Mercer's class. I tell you what, you've got them taken care of over there. You're treating them like heaven. How many know we're going to have 12 manner of fruit there, and we're going to drink until we are our thirst is slaked? And how many know it's going to be forever and forever and ever? Give the Lord a clap offering this morning for the joy you set before us. We came over that viaduct and we stood against that plate glass window. It's snowing coming down on the outside. And because there's a heater on the inside and there's customers on the inside, that plate glass window is kind of fogged up. And it says local bakery. Now at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3:30, our tapeworms and from having institutional food at 11 o'clock is gone. And now we're ready to eat a bear. And we come by the bakery and we can smell it and we look inside that window, and there are people sitting there eating tarts and bagels. They're eating cakes. I tell you what, drinking coffee. They're having a good time. We're on the outside shivering, and we said to ourselves, I wished I could get on the inside, but we don't have resource. We don't have any moolah. We don't have any money. Mom had packed our paper sacks and full of groceries, all kinds of things, but there was no cash in it. We stood on the outside, and when we leaned up against the window, the proprietor of that place went like this, "Get away." We probably had smeared a little bit on that window as we had our noses pressed and our lips hungry, ready to go. The second day, the same scenario. And on the third day, when we came by with the same situation, finally, out of desperation, the proprietor, the baker of that business, he came to the door. And when he opened the door, we got a fresh aroma. Somebody's opened the door. His name is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you felt the warmth of the church? Have you felt the warmth of His love? Have you felt the invitation of His grace? Have you felt the forgiveness of His love? Have you come out of darkness into His glorious light? Folks, now the door was opened, and it was a higher intensity. Let the church have a new fragrance. Come on, folks. This is a cold, dark, dirty world today. That's full of the demon powers of hell that are emulating, getting ready for the end times. What is happening in the nations is nothing but the fulfillment of the scriptures of this book that says the Antichrist is coming and the false prophet. Everybody's clamoring to get position among the nations so they can be on the top level. I got news for you folks. Jesus already is at the top. I said He already has paid the price. I said He's got something beyond this place that has never been touched by sin. Someone praise Him in the house. It's a glorious church, I said, filled with love and mercy. And the heavenly city is beyond our comprehension, beyond our awareness. On the outside, folks are dogs. It simply says this, we stand on that inside. He opened the door and said, come on in, kids. We came in, sat down on the bar stools. We looked around. We didn't know what was going to happen. We'd never been there. We had dreamed about being here, but we didn't know what was going to happen. Folks, He's going to reveal to us what He needs to reveal. I said, He'll show us the way. He has led us down here. He led Israel for 40 years. You know the story. He's going to lead the church out. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then He said to us, just sit right here. He went in the back and brought out some chocolate milk in some little cartons and some day-old donuts. It didn't matter, folks, if they were a day or a week old. We scarfed them down that day. And I want you to know it was completely different. I turned around now and I saw cars going by, other people walking by. Now I'm sitting on the inside. I'm looking through the same plate glass window, and folks, my heart is fulfilled with joy and hope and happiness. I said, it may be $5 a gallon. I said, your eggs may have gone up triple time. I said, everything is around us is being stirred, but the church's foundation is sure on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Someone praise Him. If the sun is blotted out, I said, the sun will still shine. I said, if the earth sucks up all the air, I said, He'll breathe on us and we shall live, live, live. Someone praise Him. He said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Why? Because I want to bring you home. Someone praise Him in the house this morning. We're on the inside of the gate. On the outside of the gate are dogs. The story is very simple this morning. There was a black preacher preaching in Tennessee, and he was preaching from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And it just so happened that Durwood DeBose and his son were on vacation out in the east, on the eastern part of this country. He had just gone through some health issues. And Rick said, Dad, we need a vacation together. They finished it up and they're heading back to Texas. Rick is still wondering about his dad's health. All of a sudden, the car in front of him and Rick that was driving behind his dad, the lights go on. It moves over to the side. Gravel's flying everywhere. Brake lights are on. And when he comes runs to the window to see if his dad's had another heart attack. He looks at him and he's laughing. He said, Rick, turn on to such and such a station. You've got to hear this black preacher. He's preaching on beware of dogs. The preacher said simply this, there are simply in this here church hound dogs. He said, why you are up all Saturday night, all day Sunday, you're carousing around with garbage cans, you're baying at the moon, you're looking up, you're siring all kinds of sires, and you won't become a dad. I said, you won't get a job. You're waiting on somebody else to take care of you. All you do is bark and howl. He said, beware of dogs. The Bible says there are dogs in this here church. Beware of them. He said, now let's go on. He said, why in this here church there are poodle dogs? He said, you've been down at the beauty parlor all Saturday. You're getting fluffed up. You're getting bowed up. You're getting painted up. You get nice big hats. And when church starts, he said, you don't come in early. And you get down at the altar and pray. But you wait until everything is in motion. And then you strut down into the middle of the church. And you don't go to the back row. But you come down to the front row so everybody can see what you have purchased and how good looking you are. The black preacher said simply this, beware of dogs. We got some poodle dogs in this here church. He said, why, we've got some yip dogs in this here church. They're no bigger than a chihuahua, but their mouth is so large. They've been everywhere. Johnny Cash sang that song, I've been everywhere, man. So have I as an evangelist. And I left my hair in San Francisco and other places. That little yip dog has been everywhere. It knows everything and it tells everybody about everything. He said, behold, there are yip dogs in this church. He said, he sits on the front porch and here comes a master with Mr. Doberman Pinscher walking down the front of the house, and he's sitting on the front porch, and he's confident because there's a gate and a fence. But when he sees Mr. Doberman coming, he comes flying off of that front porch and hits that fence, and he bounces off of it, and he said, if it wasn't for this fence, I'd tell you who's the boss around here. Mr. Doberman, don't come through here. This is my territory. Second day, the same scenario. Here comes the master with an iron leash and chain holding on to Mr. Doberman. He comes flying by, walking by partly, and off the front porch, here comes Mr. Yip Dog again. This time he hits that fence again, and he's just yelling and barking as loud as he can be. Mr. Doberman doesn't even move his head. He just keeps on going straight. And when the third day it happened, this time he rears up, and this time he comes flying off of that place, and this time he hits the gate, and something happens, folks. The gate begins to swing wide open. He now finds himself in the jaw of death. He finds himself having his ear nicked off. His tail is bent. He is now flung and blood is flying everywhere, and he hits the uprights on the porch and he sinks to the ground, and all he can say is this, who took the lock off the gate? I said, I'm near glad the gate is open wide today. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and every man has the opportunity to come unto him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you where you are. I am also, and I want you to be there with me. Someone praise him this morning. On the outside, I said, are those who are dogs of concision. They're trying to lead you to damnation and destruction. There are spirits and demons now that are rampant, but folks, you and I have the power of the blood. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Word of the Living God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Church, it's time to rise up once again in these last days and declare the Lordship of Christ. We are not namby-pambies. I said we are sheep. No, folks, with the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God, salt does not lose its flavor as long as it stays salt. And I'm there glad you and I have been touched by the light and the counsel of God. Church, we must rise up. I said we have to address the nation. The reason why the world is in such chaos. cross is because demons have had freedom. It's time for the church to let the anointing of the power of the Spirit of God that came on the day of Pentecost and decimate itself upon this world until they know the love and the power of God. All He's called us to do is to be witnesses, and our witnesses, yea and amen. And it is sure this morning, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someone say amen. He said, on the outside are sorcerers. My uncle pastored a church in Dallas some years ago, and a family came in, and they had some teenagers. I'd really made a commitment to God when I received a baptism of the Holy Spirit in a two-week revival up in Brookfield, Missouri. The evangelist came, and it was a two-week meeting. I found out as an evangelist, we don't even get into revival until the second and third week. We have short-term memory loss. If we get 2 days, we're lucky. It's over before it starts. Honey, you did fill the car up with gas. I hope we can get out of here. His family came in, didn't know much about them, and I get a call. I've been Duke Worth, came with the youth. 17 years of age. Didn't know a whole lot about the power and the moving of the Spirit of God except what I was raised in, but I knew it was real. They gave me the address. They said, we're having a party. I said, well, are your parents? No, they're out of town, but it's okay. We're going to have this party. Sorcery's on the outside. Witchcraft. Lying spirits. How many want the truth? It'll set you free. I said, how many want this truth? It'll set you free. Cars were parked a couple blocks away. I had to finally find the house, and I'd never been there before. And when they opened the door, there was about 25, 30 teenagers in the den. They're sitting with a card table in the center of it. And centered on that card table was a Ouija board. Now, folks, I wasn't raised in theology yet, and I hadn't had any degrees at that time except the degree of Mom and Dad and the Holy Ghost. But I knew something was not right. Sitting in a little chair with four students around it was a girl, and she was new in that crowd. And they sat down and said, we're going to tell you your name. And so she's sitting there. They put their hands on the board, and it shows us this. Your name is Susie. Yes, that's my name. How old are you? Don't tell us. We'll tell you. The devil knows more about you than you know. But, folks, there's somebody that knows everything about you, and his name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, they laid their hands on it, and everybody was excited about this, and I'm sitting over in the corner. I said, God, this is not right. Now, folks, I didn't want to draw great attention, but God knows how to draw attention. But while I'm sitting over there, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost with silent tongues, and I'm taking authority over every power of darkness. You give an inch to the devil, he'll take it a mile. You give him a toehold, it'll become a foothold, and a foothold will become a stronghold. But I found that if I give it to Christ, I said, all things open up unto me. And I have property all across America and around the world because, folks, wherever you go and preach the gospel, he said, your feet will have an inheritance. And I'm looking forward to stepping into the portals of glory and going through that gate when the sound of the trumpet of God coming and the last word Jesus made on earth to us recorded in this book is this, behold, I come quickly. I'm here looking for him. He wants to give his reward unto his bride and his children. He said, we got a new fellow over here, and the guy that was in charge, he said, you come and sit here. We won't tell you who he is. We'll just tell you who he is by through this board. And so they sat me down, and when they put my name in, they started to ask what my name was. It kept coming back, N-O. I said, my name is not No. And they said, well, let's try again. Three times they tried it, and all they kept doing is saying No. Well, let's try his birthday. And folks, it kept coming back, No. Finally, couldn't take it any longer. I said, in the name, I stood up. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I have authority over this board and over every demon and every power of darkness. I've been translated from the outside where once I used to give venue to, and now my allegiance is unto Jesus Christ. And when I said that, that table came off the ground and four teenagers were flung to the walls, and something happened, folks. They made out like I was a narc in the midst of a drug bust. I want you to know they left. Why? Because now the power of God was manifest. When they came before Pharaoh, Aaron threw down his staff, and you know what happened? If God be for us, who can be against us? On the outside are sorcerers, are dogs, and whoremongers. Folks, prostitution is a bad word. Whoremongering simply is an old English word that means sexual activity. Israel was known by God to go a whoring after strange gods. The Bible speaks about adultery and fornication. That's on the outside. Come on, we cannot just play games and sweep it under the rug. I said sin will never be dealt with until the blood hits it, until the knowledge of God comes to it. I'm not sitting here this morning throwing judgments out this morning. My heart cries out unto the church. Let's get back to purity. Let's get back to holiness. Let's get back to righteous living. Let's get back to be an example that when the world calls, we have an answer. Is there somebody that can go to the Congress and pray a prayer that will touch the throne of God and bring humility once again upon those who are in leadership of the nations? Why? Because you see, folks, once we ascribe unto hell, it has something that needs to be taken, and it's only the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. I said whoremongering is on the outside. Did you know the United States leads in sex trafficking, selling our children into sexual slavery? 50,000 young women and children, girls, will be trafficked this year. Our young boys now are being touched by pedophiles like never before. It's on every hand all around us. We've got islands where they go to, and the gathering of the leadership of the nations are coming. And folks, they're in frivolity. They're into sexual abuse. Why? Because they're doing just what their father teaches them to do. The spirit of Antichrist and of the false prophet that now is prevalent and pervasive in the land. But if God be for us, He's raising up the church. I said, let the preachers preach. Let the deacons be deacons. Let the choir members sing the songs of redemption and anointing. Folks, it's not time trying to persuade them by some kind of religious rhetoric. It's time to show forth the power and the anointing of the Spirit of the living God. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let the church rise up once again and be the church of triumph, for He's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the eternal Lamb. He said, on the outside are murderers. Did you know the CDC, Guckermacher Institute, keeps records of known abortions? In the year of 2020, 930,160 were posted as legal abortions. That's not counting dingy alley abortions, darkened doctor's offices, self-inflicted. Murderers are on the outside. When I was a sophomore at Justin F. Kimball High School in Dallas, we'd moved here down from Missouri in 62, and the year was 1963, November 22nd. Dr. W.T. White gave permission to the Dallas School, Independent School District, to have freedom not to show up at school, but to go see the President of the United States of America, downtown Dallas. Because I was enrolled in a course through Yale University concerning European history, I decided to go to the library that day and finish up my paperwork for that semester. Several of my friends went. Some of them got so close, they literally saw the blood that splattered that day however it happened. The Warren Commission won't tell us everything. I came from the cafeteria as I ate an early lunch. We had a few school monitors that were in black and white, and as I came by the library, I heard that strong voice of Walter Cronkite saying this: the president has been shot. Folks, if you were in Dallas that day, the freeways were empty. The malls, the stores, people were huddled around TVs. There was such a spirit of who could do this to kill our president of the United States. It didn't matter about his administration, what ground he was, but right here in Dallas, he was murdered, shot. I want you to know, folks, there were people that were ready to string up people. People got emotionally involved. They didn't like this. Folks, we abort our babies just like they're nothing but junk, and it doesn't seem to upset us. Hallelujah. Can you think about how many doctors have been thrown away? How many scientists? How many people that could pay taxes? How many teachers that could teach the good work of God? How many preachers that have been killed before they ever were started? Thank God that God has a plan and He can make sure that something happens. How many are glad He has bulrushes? I said He has a little ark. How many are glad He has a heavenly city? I said, how many are glad He has the victory? Folks, it says simply this: murderers are on the outside. Idolaters are on the outside. Have you noticed how our statues have come down and our idols have gone up? We've got people rushing to islands. And folks, the Bible says this, that the love of money is the root of all evil, and those who love it are going to perish and have sorrows that will pierce them asunder. Folks, ask that about Mr. Epstein in that prison cell. I want you to hear me, folks, today very clearly. I'm not throwing out against personalities. I don't like doing that. But I come against every spirit that is not of God. I bind those spirits in the church. I bind them in our family. We bind them in ministry. We bind them because, folks, we have authority in the name of Jesus. It's not just to sit here until Jesus comes. The Bible says that we must tarry, be preoccupied. You have the ability and you have the authority and you have the right to send forth prayers that go to the center of the earth and into the throne room of God. Harrison, seven spirits that hover before the throne of God. And folks, they're the prayer of the saints. Hear me this day very clearly, church. He hears every prayer. He hears every cuss word. He hears everything, every thought that we have. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my God, my Redeemer, to whom much is given, much is required. This is a strong message, church, but it's a message that's got to be preached in this last day. I said the church has got to rise up. It's more than $5 a gallon, whether we're going to go to electric or stay on the combustible engine. Folks, it's more than just a party being in the office of the White House. It's when people get before the throne of God and the prayers of mama change the course of a nation. I said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I saw my mother pray in Wrench when my youngest brother would go out on Friday nights, and folks, he would join himself with the crowd. His hair got longer. All of a sudden, needles were being pierced into his body. His language changed. Instead of mom and dad, I said, watching TV all Saturday night and Friday night, when he would leave somewhere around 8 o'clock in the evening to go out and have his fun, I said, they got onto the altar of the bench right there in the den, and they would stay there all night and pray. Folks, it took almost 4 years, but finally their prayers were answered, and something happened. My brother has now come to one of our largest assembly churches right here in our district, and has been an elder in that church. He's led in the Bible quiz. He's now worked among eldership, and my brother now is teaching in the school systems and talking about the power and the love of God. You see, folks, there's hope for this nation, and he says this: I'm coming quickly. I want to give my reward with you. Are you on the inside? Stand to your feet with me, church. I said, are you on the inside? If you are, we were challenged in Sunday school this morning to give praise unto the Lamb of God. I said, give Him praise that you're saved. Give Him praise that you have prayer. Give Him praise that you have the ability to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Folks, this is more than just getting to heaven. It's more than just a passage into the blessed life. I'm looking forward to see Mom and Dad. But first and foremost, I want to see the Savior who redeemed me, who went to a cross, who paid the price. He who took the authority upon Him to shed His precious blood that I could come through the gate. Folks, I'm looking through the plate glass window. Once I was on the outside, but now I'm on the inside. Thank God there's a separation, a gulf between us and hell itself. Satan has his regime. He has darkness on every hand, but there's victory in the name of Jesus. I said, lift your voices, lift your hands, give Him praise. The first beginning of praise and prayer is to give Him praise with your lips, with your hearts and with your minds, with your actions and with your words. You're here not just to occupy space. He has got you digging ditches. He's got you reading books. He's got you in the family you're in because He wants you to be an example of the love and the power of God. The Bible says, I'm coming quickly. And the Lord says He's got His reward. I'm looking for reward. But before reward, there's a work to do. I said there's a work to do. And the work is this, is to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. He said simply, those who will do My commandments, He said, blessed are they, that they might have right into the tree of life. You can lose it. I said you can have your name taken out. I said you can be cast out of that heavenly city. Folks, some say you can't, but I want you to know that's not what the Scripture says. He said, I'm coming quickly, and My reward is with Me.